the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we have this little incident at the end of the chapter to consider, but we're going to consider the two particular characters that the Lord meets with here and look at their lives a little. Mary and Martha, and the good part. Mary and Martha and the good part that Martha chose. We read that it came to pass in verse 38, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, these two women form two-thirds of a family. Lazarus, Mary and Martha were siblings, and they're a family with whom the Lord Jesus enjoyed a special, close relationship. John, in his Gospel, writes more concerning these women, and we'll look at that to back up what we're saying in Luke chapter 10. He writes more concerning about their brother, but for now let's consider that they had a unique opportunity, certainly a very special opportunity. Unique for these two women, in fact, Jesus entered Martha's house, verse 1. So it would seem that Martha was perhaps the older of the three siblings, and she owned the house, and the other two lived there. He entered Martha's house. It means he was already acquainted with this family. He wouldn't have walked into Bethany, that village where they lived, and knocked on the door of two strangers and insisted on a meal. It can't have been all that much later that Lazarus was taken ill. He was Martha and Mary's brother, and he's described as Lazarus, whom thou lovest. So he had a special relationship with Mary, Martha and Lazarus, and we're told in that John passage that he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and we know that his love goes far and wide, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we're specifically told, then there is something special in the relationship between Jesus and these three. We can assume, therefore, as the Lord was not brought up in Judea, he just visited Judea on various occasions, probably quite a few occasions that we're not told about, or maybe it was an annual occasion. We know he went up for the Feast of Tabernacles, and he went up for the Passover as a child, that one or more of the family friends heard Jesus preaching when he went up. He visited Jerusalem during his Judean ministry, which only John records in his Gospel, and maybe he preached in Bethany, because we read that he preached in Jerusalem, and Bethany was not far from Jerusalem. Maybe Martha, or Mary, or Lazarus, or all three heard and was converted then when they heard him speaking. Perhaps Lazarus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles when people heard Jesus cry with a loud voice, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Maybe that was that occasion. We can only conjecture, but we know that it was at some time that Jesus met with this family, and all three of them became believers, firm Christians. They trusted in him. Their hearts were changed. Real conversion. To have heard those or similar words from the lips of Christ with the accompanying work of grace in the heart would have been sufficient to change Lazarus and Mary and Martha to the Saviour, bring them to the Saviour. We certainly see that in all the hustle and bustle of the life of our Lord as the crowds wanted so much of his time, and as he sought opportunity to spend time alone with his disciples, here was a special occasion. Maybe, as I said, a unique opportunity for the small family that he loved to have him in their house for an uninterrupted meal. It would be unusual for the 12 to be excluded. But it's possible, we read that they came to Bethany and he went into the house, into the village and then into the house. But probably they all did. Now that together would mean that Martha was catering for 15 people. The text says, as they went, he entered into a certain village and Martha received him into her house. Well, whether there were just the 3 or 15 present, the central characters in the exchanges in verses 30 to 42 are the Lord Jesus and Mary and Martha. Lazarus isn't there. He's not mentioned. He may have been there. We can be sure that Jesus had wonderful, gracious words to share. You never lost out or wasted time by listening to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he said was full of grace and kindness and love, and maybe rebuke, but rebuke in love. He understood perfectly Martha's priority to serve them and to serve the others if they were present. If this was in the latter part of the Lord's time in earth, he would have desired to enlighten them concerning his forthcoming death and resurrection. That's what he wanted the disciples to understand at this time, that his purpose in coming was to go to Jerusalem to be arrested and to suffer and to die. So we read of something quite surprising we didn't expect, an outburst from Martha. Now I can understand a tendency to have a lot of sympathy for Martha here, especially amongst the ladies, because you know what it is to do much serving, to be the forgotten one, perhaps the overlooked one, who does a lot of serving and is working, seeking to feed the family and help. The scene here is that Martha is the owner of the house, we think, probably the elder sibling of the 3, and she quite rightly feels and acts upon the need to take charge of hospitality for Jesus, and probably those disciples too. Now, both women had been preparing a meal, because we read that Mary left off preparing. She left her having been preparing, is the sort of mood of that expression. They'd been busily preparing a meal for their Lord and Saviour, but Mary left the work to sit at the feet of the Master and listen to his words. Who's today's Mary? Well, if you're a new Christian, converted in recent years, and you feel you're learning so much that you didn't care about a year or two ago, you didn't even know these things existed before you were saved, and yet so much you still have to learn, and you're hungry for it, and you have opportunity to hear the Bible expounded. I remember a fellow that used to come, he was brethren, one of the brethren, and he used to speak in a meeting in Enfield, I think it was, and it was in a house, and many of us crowded into this house and took all the seats, and me being young in those days sat on the floor in a corner listening to this man whose sermon went on for hours, 2 or 3 hours. He went through the entire book of Judges on one occasion, sitting, listening to his teaching and his exposition, and just hungry for it. And if he'd have been there every week, we'd have gone to listen to what he had to say. It was so vital to hear the word of God, and that's sitting at the feet of a man who'd been sitting at the feet of Jesus. And here we have those who sat at the feet, or she sat at the feet, to feed upon the living bread from the one who was the living bread, the one who said, I am the bread of life. So it's not a question that we sit here and say, well, who's right, who's wrong, whose side are you on, Mary or Martha? We can see both points of view. Today's Mary would be that person that longs to hear the word of God, and rather than busy in lots of other areas will sit at the feet of the Lord and take every opportunity to hear the word of God. And we know that we have experienced that, as some of us do already. Who's today's Martha? Well, sadly, they're few and far between. The only thing Martha is rebuked for is working for the Lord. Hard. Not many Christians I know today would ever be guilty of that. Martha is working, we presume, in kitchen tasks, but not for herself or for praise or adulation of those who would feast upon what she prepared for the public. She's seeking to serve the Lord. She's putting all her labour into serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Martha is that minister or Christian worker or Sunday school teacher who finds themselves during the living day, taking their lion's share of Christian service, and they look round to see other professing Christians turning up for a meeting, helping with the tea, perhaps on special occasions, but no real commitment to Christian service. No approaching people with the gospel out of a desire for their souls. Today's Martha may well turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, dost thou not care that my brothers and sisters have left me to serve alone?" And Martha had great justification, but Mary also had justification. You didn't have that many opportunities to sit and learn from the very lips of the Saviour. The non-active believers of our day haven't left the work. They've never really begun to serve. And it's not to sit at Jesus' feet to follow the latest series or to pursue their careers. That's what they're engaged in, so many in our day. So we have Mary and Martha, and Martha's outburst, but then the voice of spiritual reason. Just when you might have thought Mary would get a gentle rebuke from the Lord, he might well have said, "Yes, Martha's right. Go and help her, Mary. We can talk later." Jesus responds, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the better part, which shall not be taken away from her." What is the Lord not saying here? He's not saying, "Well, leave all the service to others. Let them get on with the work. You just come to church and listen to the sermons and go home and let others do all the work." He's not saying that. He's not saying, "Just learn all you can. Don't worry about service." He's not saying, certainly not saying, "You know, not everybody is called to get their hands dirty. You may be one who is just an encouragement by being here, Mary." Well, that is true. You are a great encouragement when you come to the Lord's house, just being here, every one of you. What he is saying is service is of great value, essential to Christian growth and development. There are times when you really, however, need to listen to the voice of the Saviour. Mary has chosen the good part. She had a choice to make, what seemed to be expected or what would actually do her soul so much good. She's chosen the important thing. It's not important that we have the best cooked meal in the world here today, Martha. What is important is that you have opportunity to hear the words that I can say that will greatly bless your souls. Come unto me. Sit at my feet. Listen to your Saviour. She's chosen. Here in Bethany today, that good part. After all, how much did Jesus value food? He had meat to eat that most of us know not of. As he said, when the disciples said, "Well, wouldn't you need something to eat?" He said, "No, I have meat to eat that you know not of." We know that he placed little value, some value, but little value, on taking daily food. But he valued greatly the opportunity to feed Mary and Martha and Lazarus with the food that doesn't perish. And so we have the true Martha. we might come away with an inaccurate assessment of the spiritual stature and faith of Martha. We might say, well, she's a willing worker, but not really a woman of faith and understanding like Mary was. But we'd be wrong. When we look to that passage we read from John chapter 11, it puts us right. There it's Martha who shows great faith and understanding of the Lord's mission. We read in John 11 verse 1 that Lazarus was sick. In verse 3, his sisters sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In verse 4 of John 11, Jesus has said, this sickness is not fatal, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, we read in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So he delayed for 2 days, which seems a little strange. Verse 8, the disciples are warned, they warn him, the Jews want to stone you. But Jesus takes no notice. He said, no, it's daytime. We've got to go in the daytime. We can't skulk around in the dark. And in verse 11, he says, Lazarus is sleeping. And the disciples say, well, that's good, isn't it? It's good that he's asleep. No, says Jesus in verse 14, he is dead. And in verse 17, he comes to Bethany, and Lazarus has been 4 days in the grave already. But verse 20, and here's where we get to the point, Martha was the one who came out to meet him. Now, they both had something of a gripe against Jesus, a little one, because he didn't come straight away. And so Martha says unto Jesus in verse 21 there, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Now, that would be a fair place to stop. She had faith that Christ could have healed Lazarus. Well, that's faith. It's disappointing for her that he didn't, but she believed that he had the ability to. She believed that if the Lord had been there, he wouldn't have let Lazarus die. But she goes on. And these are one amongst the most remarkable words in the scriptures. From this woman who was cumbered about with much serving, who didn't have time to stop and to sit at the feet of Jesus as Mary did. But now she says, but I know, she continues, even now, he's been dead in the grave 4 days. Even now, whatsoever thou askest of God, God will give it thee. What is she saying? She's saying he's been dead in the grave 4 days. We don't pray for the dead. We don't try to revive those who've been dead for a while. There are marvelous stories of people who've died on an operating table and been revived. But in the sense that the Lord means it, they haven't died. They've stopped being conscious. They've stopped showing signs of life. But when a doctor brings somebody back to life through artificial respiration or whatever, they haven't died in the sense of passed from this world into the next. So Martha is saying, I know that even now, whatsoever thou askest of God, God will give it thee. She's saying, I believe, you've come all this way, even though you knew that Lazarus was dying, you knew that he was dead, and now you've come here with a purpose on your face. I know, just as I look, even though it's impossible, I know that whatever you ask of God, he will do it. These are not the words of a believer obsessed with cooking and cleaning, and that's all they live for. This is a true believer who is speaking here. In verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha again shows a knowledge that many Christians even today don't have. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She believed in the resurrection of the dead on the last day, that the graves will give up the bodies in them, that the sea will give up its dead, that those who've been consumed in the elements will be restored, and all shall stand before Christ when he comes from heaven with 10,000 of his saints and the grave shall be opened. It'll be an amazing sight. Remember a minister years ago saying if the BBC cameras were there, hiding behind some gravestone, suddenly to see the earth tremble as the Lord comes from heaven, and to see the saints and sinners also rise from the grave. She knew that though worms destroy this body, as Job said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. How did she know? How did she know about the resurrection of the dead at the last day? She too learnt it at the feet of Jesus. Oh yes, the resurrection of all at the return of Christ to earth was taught in the scriptures. For example, in Psalm 16, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption, which is applied by Peter to mean that Jesus, his body, would rise from the grave himself. Psalm 17, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And then Job, though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. All of those scriptures were taught. She would have sung those psalms, and it was something of a knowledge that they would have had, but it was the teaching of the Saviour at the feet of the Saviour. Martha wasn't always in the kitchen. She wasn't always cumbered about with much serving. She spent time, along with Mary and Lazarus, listening to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Martha believed with all her heart, and now had hope as they approached the hopeless, the tomb of Lazarus. She had hope because Christ is the resurrection and the life. Well, that's the true Martha. That's who Martha really was. She wasn't this woman who was just cumbered about sweating in the kitchen. No, she was a woman who loved the Lord and believed the truth. What about the true Mary? What about her? Is she the spiritual passive believer who loves to hear sermons but never really acts upon them? No, John chapter 12 tells us. This is just a few days before the Passover, when the Lord went to be arrested and to die. Bethany, a few miles from Jerusalem, and Jesus came for supper, and there sitting at the table with Jesus and the disciples is Lazarus, which was dead, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And again Martha serves, but verse 3 of John 12, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of her ointment. And Judas, the thief, complained, this should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and kept the money bag. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. Jesus knew that Mary had kept, since her conversion, this expensive ointment because she believed that Jesus was going to die. And she kept it for the day when she could anoint him for his burial and when he would rise again. So we view the Luke passage that we've come to at the end of Luke chapter 10 with new light. We do value those whose efforts are tireless to work for the Lord Jesus. And we long that all the Lord's people might also choose that good part, sitting at Jesus' feet. It won't be taken away from you. Well, let's turn to our closing.